to this week's Thrive Church podcast. We hope you're encouraged by this message.
This morning I'm feeling so young. I've just got to say, Friday night youth is the best. I got to play Hungry Hungry Hippos. My team didn't win, but it doesn't matter. And I've got to say, Dougal Smith is some mean game player. Like, he didn't stop until he stomped on my balloon. But anyway, we're still friends. But just going to say, we have an amazing group of young people. And they asked just these amazing questions. And yes, there were wise people on the panel. We diverted all the difficult questions to Richard. And he did an awesome job. It was so good. So this morning I've been thinking about, a few months ago, does anyone remember Lionel Richie was playing at Central Coast Stadium? Has anyone heard of Lionel Richie? A few people. Anyway, he used to sing this song called Hello, Is It Me You're Looking For? And I'm not going to try and sing it because, you know, you'd all run away. But that's a song that's been going on in my head. Hello, is it me you're looking for? So, you know what? We're all looking for something. We're all looking for someone or something, aren't we? We're all looking. We're all searching. And I've been thinking about some of the things that we search for and that we look for. Some of us are looking for the best coffee, all right? Some people go to another city and even another state to find the best coffee. Yes, they do. Other people put an app on their phone that directs them to their coffee.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. And when the coffee is 10 k's down the road for the favourite one, they go to the place where they've found the coffee. Some of us are looking for something else. Maybe it's the best surf break. You know, you might get up in the morning and you might drive up and down the coast, driving into every surf break until you find the one. But you know where it is? It's right back at the very first one that you went to. That happens, doesn't it? What about you might go shopping looking for a bargain. You're searching and searching for a bargain. Now, the worst kind of shopper to go with is someone who knows what they want before they get there. My daughter is one of those. She has in her mind the exact thing. And she's in Europe now, but the day before she left, Mum, I need a backpack and I saw it at Kmart, so we've got to go there and get it. So we go to Kmart. Of course, they're all sold out of the one beige, this size, perfect backpack. Can we find, would this one do? No. Will this one do? No. Let's go to another shop looking for another backpack that will do. Let's keep searching till we can find it. But, you know, we didn't find that one. You might have been searching for the right person. Now, don't ask me how I know this, but if you go on a dating app, they will ask you... they will ask you about yourself and then they will ask you, what are you looking for? What are you looking for in your perfect match? And even if they don't ask that question, you'll see... Yeah, I did read this. they'll go, I'm looking for someone with a good sense of humour. I'm looking for someone who enjoys a glass of wine and walking along the beach. I'm looking for someone who. So we're all looking. We're all looking for something. So I started thinking, what is Jesus looking for? What is Jesus looking for? And we're going to go to a scripture. We're going to go to Luke. I've been spending a lot of time in Luke. It's pretty awesome. So this passage that I'm going to read is Luke chapter 8. So you can turn in your Bibles, Luke chapter 8, and we're reading from verse 22 to 25. Now, in this story, Jesus has called his disciples, and they've been following him around, and they've seen him do some miracles. They've seen him heal people. They've seen him raise someone from the dead. So he's already healed the centurion's servant who was on their deathbed. He's already healed the widow's son. He's anointed, or the sinful woman, the woman who came and anointed his feet. He's already forgiven her sins. He's done all these things. So then he says to his disciples, we're reading from verse 22, he says, one day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a squall came up down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. And the disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." And he got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and they subsided and all was calm. And the next verse says to them, he says to them, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" And that's what Jesus is looking for, and that's a question that's been going on and on in my mind. I can't get it out of my mind. And where is your faith? Where is it? And so in this story, the disciples, Jesus didn't really expect an answer. They didn't really go, "Oh, well, sorry, we left it back over on shore, on the lake," or they didn't have an answer. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." So at this point, when he asked them, they didn't really have an answer, but they started asking more questions. And up until this time, they had followed Jesus. They had seen, that's what I'm saying, he'd healed people, he'd raised people from the dead, but they still didn't really know who he was. And so that's why their faith, they didn't know where it was. They didn't know who it was that they were trusting in. But after this time, with these questions, they got a revelation. They started, you can see it starting to unfold. They were like, "Who is this that even the seas and the storm obey him?" They started to see him not just as a healer and a preacher, but actually, this is God. This is God. And so one of the important things about faith is knowing who it is that we're trusting. And so Jesus is looking for faith. There's lots of stumbling blocks along the way on the journey of faith. And so this morning I've just come up with some things that come up as stumbling blocks on our journey of faith, because faith is a journey. We don't instantly stumble into like this full strong faith. And we have faith that helps us step into the kingdom of God, helps us to receive God's word to us, but it doesn't just stay there. So, one of the first stumbling block, and James, you can put that up for me, thanks, is fury. Oh, so, just so you can write notes, like everything starts with F. So, that's just my little thing. So, this first one is fury. So, fury, well, that's just an F word for anger, right? It's having some sort of something in your heart that isn't receiving God's word, that it's rejecting it. And I'm just going to go over to, back to Luke 7 and verse 29. So we're going to go through all these responses, and these responses are like foundations for our faith, that if we don't get through these hurdles, if we don't get over these stumbling blocks, that it's hard for us to go on to the next step, or it can come back and hinder our faith. And so this, to me, is the foundation of moving forward in our faith. And so we're just going to read Luke chapter 7. So it's only just one page back. And it's verse 29. So at this point, John the Baptist's disciples had come to Jesus and said, "John has sent us saying, are you the one that we're meant to look out for? Are you the one that John talked about?" And so Jesus says to them, "Look, go back and tell John. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, those who are oppressed are set free, the good news is preached. Go back and tell him what you see." And then he goes on to talk about John the Baptist and started to preach the good news about that John had been preaching. And so it says in verse 29, you can read along, "All the people, even the tax collectors," you know, in those days, the tax collectors, the most sinful people that they can think of, "when they heard Jesus' words, they acknowledged that God's way was right because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John." So isn't that interesting? Two responses. These two groups of people heard God's word. They heard Jesus speak. You know, we know there's a verse in the Bible that says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that's true. But I want to say that if our heart isn't ready, that when we hear the word, it won't give birth to faith. It'll give birth to anger. And something needs to have happened in our heart first, just like that beautiful scripture that Amy read before I got up. Something happens in our heart so that we can receive. And what had happened here was that they had, the ones that received it had received the baptism of John. And the baptism of John, if any of you have read these stories, it's a baptism of repentance. And so it's coming back to that place of repenting, of acknowledging where we are and turning away from that. Because when we once we turn away from our own desires and our own thoughts and our own purposes and we start to turn towards God, then we've put ourselves in a position and a posture to receive Jesus' words. And if we don't do that, and you know what? Sometimes we can hear God's word week after week and it's not changing us, it's not doing anything. And so it would be a really interesting question to go back and ask ourselves, God, is there something that I need to repent of that's hindering me, that's causing a stumbling block for me to move forward in my faith? So repentance is that first one, and it will take us, if we don't repent, it'll take us into a place of fury. It'll take us to a place of anger. It'll take us to a place where we can't receive. But if we do repent and we do receive, what we get is forgiveness. And when we have that forgiveness, that is an open door into the presence of God. So, next point, because I know you're all writing notes. The next F is false belief. So do we have a belief in God or do we have a belief in other things? And you know, these days, there's so many sayings that go around, right? It's like, believe in yourself. Have you heard that one? Believe in yourself. You can do it. Or I love this one where it's like, oh, just put it out to the universe. It'll come back to you. It's a good one, isn't it? What are the sayings? You know, power of positive thinking. If you just think positive enough, that thing that you're believing for will happen. But, you know, if we don't put our trust in the true God, it doesn't matter how hard we're believing. We can believe our guts out, right? But it won't do anything. And even in the day of Jesus, there were people that trusted in their own way. They trusted in their own ability. And so he told this story to them. And we're just going to go over to Luke 18. And I think that's going to come up on the screen. So it's Luke chapter 18, a few pages over, and verse 9. And it says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. So you know what? If you're in the room today and you've been thinking to yourself, oh, like I'm pretty good. I think I'll be all right. I think I can get through to heaven on my own doings. This is what Jesus is saying to you. To those who are confident of their own righteousness, Jesus told this parable. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm not like robbers or evildoers or adulterers or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. Can't get much better than that. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He just stood back and he wouldn't even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and he said, God, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. So you know what? It takes humility to trust in God, doesn't it? Because trusting in yourself, it's a pride, a false pride in yourself. But to let go of that and to trust in God, it needs something done in our heart that takes us to that place of humility, to stand before God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. I rely on your strength and your righteousness. And I just want to show you these pictures. So James, can just put the first one up. So this, when you're standing on this side of the chasm, that bridge. You can have lots and lots of faith in that bridge that it's going to get you to the other side. And this bridge is having faith in yourself and your own ability. And, you know, when you're standing here and you've got lots of faith in that, that's fine. But the moment you step onto that bridge with all the gaps in it, all the holes, all that weak little twigs holding it together, it's going to collapse and it's not going to get you to the other side. But this is what faith in God is like. This is a big, strong bridge. It's made out of pre-stressed concrete for all the engineers in the room. This is the strongest kind of bridge, pre-stressed concrete. And you know what? You can have even the tiniest, tiniest little bit of faith in this bridge to get across to the other side. Doesn't matter how big or strong your faith is, the bridge is strong. And it's just like Jesus. And so God created a bridge for us to him. He knew that our own abilities were like that rickety bridge. So he created for us a big, strong bridge, which was the cross and the forgiveness on the cross. So I'd like to encourage you, put your faith in the big, strong bridge, and then it won't matter how strong or weak you feel that your faith is, it's who you're trusting. So it's a good picture, isn't it? Love that. All right. The third thing that goes on our heart that we have to deal with is fear. And as you know what, we often have fear, and to move forward in faith, it's quite a difficult thing. And, you know, on Friday night, one of the questions that we answered is, like, what do you do when doubts come in? And doubt and fear can line up together. And it's a very normal part of our walk of faith to have fear, because if we didn't have any fears, why would we need faith, right? So it's normal to have those fears and to have doubts and to have, you know, I'm not sure what I'm doing here. But one thing I learned was to have that trust in God is we get that when we know him. So this morning, you know, this is about learning more of Jesus, more of him, more getting to know him as a person. And that's those disciples in the boat when they got that revelation that Jesus is God, that even the storms obey him, that I can trust in him, like we're starting to know him. So he's not just a healer and a preacher, but he's God himself. So have you had that revelation of who God is? Because if you know your God, then it doesn't matter what storms are going on around. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter, you know, all the tough things that are happening to you, because we know that there's stuff going on every single day. But if you know your God, then your fear will be transformed into faith because you know your God. So last week, Brad did talk about, you know, when God shakes things up. And sometimes in life it can feel like we're in that middle of that storm and it can feel like Jesus is asleep, kind of like the storm's raging all around and you're like, I know he's here. I know he's with me, but it feels like he's asleep and we feel like we've got to wake him up. But, you know, when Jesus did that for them, it was like he was showing them, do you know what? I'm not going to let any harm come to you. I'm God and I'm here with you and I'm not going to let harm come to you. So even in those storms, knowing who he is, knowing that he loves us, he reminds us that he is in control and he's with us. All right, so next one is faint. So it could be faint, could be failure. These are things that cause us to grow weary in our faith. You know, like when we've been walking with God for a long time and, you know, we go through life, lots of things happen, right? We face lots of things. And sometimes our faith feels really strong and other times we just feel tired. Other times we just feel like, God, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And sometimes we feel things are happening to us that are a bit out of our control and we just don't have the strength to do it. And other times it's things that we've done. Sometimes we let ourselves down. Sometimes we let our friends down. Sometimes we feel like we let God down. And in these times, it causes us to retreat. It causes us to hide. And I was thinking about Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, they let God down when they ate that fruit. And when they heard him walking in the garden, they hid. And it's our natural response when we feel like we're growing weary is to retreat and to hide. Sometimes we're embarrassed. Sometimes we just don't have the energy to get up. But Jesus, he comes walking in the garden and he comes looking for us and he calls our name and he says, come out. And he covers us. And he covers us with his own self. And, you know, I just want to read you the scripture. Like a lot of you will know this from Isaiah, but it's a good reminder for those of you who are going through a tough time and feeling like, I have faith, but it just feels like it's a bit tired. It feels a bit weary. And so that's Isaiah 40, and it's verse 29. It says, he gives strength to the weary. Pardon me. And he increases the power of the weak. And even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. And they will walk and not grow faint. And it's such a beautiful promise, isn't it? So he says in this time, in the thing for our heart is when we feel faint, when we feel weary, when we feel like we've failed and the voices of condemnation come in, that we need to come into God's presence. We need to come and wait on him. And we need to start listening to his voice. We need to tune our station to his words, because in this place is where we become vulnerable and other words start coming in, don't they? You failed. You're not good enough. You can't do it. Your faith's not strong enough. You can't get through it. And, you know, I was talking, to Canberra this week. My aunt passed away last week, so I was taking my parents down to my aunt's funeral. And so we're, you know, in the car talking about things. And Dad reminded me of, 2 years ago he had his open heart surgery, and it's pretty full on. If anyone's had big surgery, you know, it's pretty heavy going and you can end up in a pretty full-on place. And so he'd had the surgery, the anaesthetic had done a few dodgy things to his brain, he'd punched a nurse, he'd done a few things like this. Yes, my nice dad. And so I had to go down and rescue the nurse. But anyway, he was troubled. And that night, God gave him a song, and Mum was telling me, she said, I went home and I just prayed and I rang some people. I said, can you pray for John, because he's not doing so well. And so she went back to the hospital the next morning and she said, I expected to see him the same as he was the day before, just quite troubled and anxious and, you know, a bit messed in the head. She said, but when I walked in, he was a completely different person and he was at peace. And what had happened that night was that God had gave him a song, and the song, can't remember exactly who sang it, but it was something that says, you can do it. I've got you. I'm with you. You can get through this. You're going to get through this. And so he put this song on repeat and he listened to it all night, and he allowed the word of God to minister to him in that place where in his own place he was struggling, but he allowed God to minister to him. So come and tune your radio station, put your iPod on, to listen to God's word and wait on him when the voices of the world are speaking to you. And that will cause you to come into a place of perseverance and endure. So instead of growing faint and sitting down on the job, it's like, I've had enough, Lord, I'm tired. It's like, no, I'm listening to you, I'm renewing my strength, I'm going to continue the walk. So our last F. And this is one that's troubled me a lot, and it's the falling away. And when I'm thinking about faith, for many years I'm like, God, you know, your word talks about at the end times many will fall away. And even now I have observed in my life people that I've known as believers to believe and trust in God are not currently following him and trusting him. And I'm like, God, what's that about? I don't want to be one of those people. I want to be found at the end. And in 2 Thessalonians, it talks about, Paul warns them about not falling away. In some versions, it uses this big word called, I'm not even going to say it right, so you can correct me, the great apostasy. Is that right? So a big word for the falling away. So what gets us to the point where Thrive Church, we are ones who are found standing firm and not of those that fall away. And in Thessalonians, it talks about the ones that fall away did not love the truth. And so the thing here for us in our hearts is to seek after truth and to allow that truth to give birth to perseverance in our hearts. Because in this world, and it talks about the people who fall away have been deceived and they've allowed other beliefs to come in and they've allowed deceit to come in and they haven't loved the truth. So they've known the truth, but they haven't loved the truth. So I'd like to encourage you guys today to come to that place where you love the truth and that you seek after it so that at the end you can be found standing firm. And my last F, this is the best one. This is what happens when we've repented, when we've acknowledged God, we've come to Him in a place of humility, we've loved His truth, and in after all that, we are found in Him. And that's where I want to be, that last F, found in Him. Me in Christ, Christ in Him, found in Him. And to me, that's what faith is about, that we are found in Him, that we are willing to move forward into His purpose for us, that we don't reject God's purpose. So those Pharisees, God had a purpose for them, but they rejected God's purpose. So I want to be found moving forward in the walk of faith, to not step back or sit down, but to be still moving forward. And, you know, in Ephesians it talks about our weapons. And most of us know that there's a shield of faith. And the shield is a gift. All those weapons are a gift. So that shield of faith is a gift that God has given us. I always thought that that shield was a defensive weapon, that all the others, you know, like they're all defensive and it's just the sword that you kind of fight your battle with. But the other night, and I shared this with the youth on Friday night because we were talking about does God speak to us? And so I'd been spending so much time in this and thinking about it, meditating on it. And I woke up in the middle of the night just with this random thought that went, without the faith, without the shield, you cannot advance. And I was like, my eyes open. I went, oh, the shield of faith is an offensive weapon. It helps us move forward. It's not just defensive. So without the shield, we can't move forward. So I started looking at things about the shield. And, you know, on Wikipedia, the book of Wikipedia, it talks about this shield wall. So in the olden days, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, 1,000 years ago, when they were in battle, they would all line up with their shield like this, and they would all line up next to each other, shoulder to shoulder. And the shield covered half their own body and half the body of the person next to them. And so they were linked together. And what they did was any of the weaker ones, maybe people, the younger ones who were new to battle, or maybe some of the older ones who were getting a little bit tired, or maybe they'd been injured, they put them in the middle so that they had the protection of the others around them. And then as they all stood there, they actually all started shifting forward. So it was part of their battle tactic to move forward. And it was this shield wall that moved forward. And, you know, when our faith, when we're feeling like maybe we're new in faith or maybe we've been injured, we, you know, we have a scar or an injury, this is where we come into. We come into this place so that we stand shoulder to shoulder and that we join our faith together, because that's what's going to help us advance. And so when I hear that Jesus asking me, where's your faith? In my mind, I was hearing Him asking me, where's your shield? Like, have you left it in the closet at home collecting dust? Have you put it down on the ground for a while because you're a little bit tired holding it up? Or have you got it ready in your arm? Is your arm strong? Or is your arm grown weak because you haven't practiced holding your shield up? Have you strengthened your arm so that you can hold your shield? So let's pull our shields out. Let's hold them up. Let's keep them strong so we can strengthen them. And I'm just going to read you this last scripture as I finish. And this is from Colossians. This is Paul's heart. And really, he's just summed up everything that I've said. But it's in Colossians. It's Colossians chapter 2. And I'm just going to read the first bit from the Amplified, but I forgot to mark it because I love this. Actually, I'll just can't find it. I'll just tell you. So it's Colossians chapter 2 and verse 4. And it says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I'm absent from you in body, I'm present with you in spirit. And I delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Now, in the Amplified Version, it says, I'm delighted to see how you are all standing shoulder to shoulder together. So when I read that in the Amplified, all I could see was all us Thrive Church people standing shoulder to shoulder with our faith shields up. And Paul's saying, I'm delighted to see your faith shields up. I'm delighted to see you shoulder to shoulder. I'm delighted to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Be found in Him. Keep advancing. Keep moving forward. Be rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of God lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were circumcised with a circumcision performed not by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised in Christ. But this, having been buried with Him in that baptism of death to our old life, in Him you were raised. You were raised with Him through your faith in the work of God who raised Him from the dead. And as we finish today, I'm just going to go back to the song. It says, Hello, is it me you're looking for? And, you know, when Christ comes back, it says there in Luke, Jesus says, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on the earth? And I want to say, when Jesus comes back, if He comes back while I'm still on the earth, or if I get to heaven before He comes, when He's looking for faith, I want to go, Jesus, hello, is it me? Is it me you're looking for? Am I the one filled with faith? I want to be there. I want to be found in Him. I want to have walked that walk of faith, that journey of faith that keeps advancing and growing in Him. So Thrive Church, let's